traffic is stuck and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 24th of September, it's 11 o'clock and we have a great show ahead of you this morning. We have a special guest on this show as well. We have my guest, Julie Bartlett. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Neil. I'm really happy to be here.
Fantastic. It's great to have you on the show this morning. And we're going to find out more about what Julie does in about 15 or 20 minutes or so. Other things we're going to be talking about this morning on today's show, hidden sugars, how to spot them, where to find them, and how to look out for them. And we're also going to be talking about blood pressure towards the end of the show. And there's some interesting research about low-salt diets we're going to mention. We also have music by Oasis, by Ocean Colour Scene, and also by REM. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. If you'd like a tweet, a shout-out, if you'd like to have a mention, or you've got an event coming up, or you just want to say hi, then please do feel free to drop me a tweet. The show's Facebook page, if you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can follow the show's Facebook page and get regular updates. You can listen to this show and all previous shows again on Catch Up on the media page of my website, or you can go to iTunes and find the show's iTunes podcast. And my website address is www.i-nutrition.co.uk if you'd like to contact me personally. So a quick disclaimer before we kick the show off. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you might improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 first or speaking with your local pharmacist. All content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. The Health Matters Radio Show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and offer my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. Right, okay, so now we have that out of the way, we're going to talk a little bit about hidden sugars. Now, we have an obesity epidemic in this country, and certainly in the Western world. And we also have a health epidemic as well, with things like heart disease and obesity and all sorts of illnesses that tend to originate from our lifestyle and our diet. So for the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to talk about these hidden sugars, where to find them, what to look out for, and hopefully to encourage you to start reading your food labels. So added sugar, so things like table sugar, honey and syrups. The recommendation is that they should not make up more than 5% of our total calorie intake per day. So for most people, for adults, that works out about around 30 grams a day of added sugar. So this is sugar that we add to our foods. But one of the problems we have is there's lots of sugar that's already in the food that we eat, and obviously the drinks that we drink. And that's leading to this issue that we have with diabetes and obesity in this country, where we are consuming just far too much sugar. Now, sugar has been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and it's only really caused us problems in the last two or three decades. And it's because it's in a lot of the food that we eat. So sugar is sugar, whether it's white or brown or unrefined or honey or molasses, sugar is sugar, and there's no such thing as healthy sugar. Sugar has got no nutritional value. It is a good source of energy in moderation and in the right applications, but our bodies don't need it, as it can be a source of unnecessary calories. So some of the things to look out for on food labels, because sugar comes in lots of different forms and lots of different names. So when you pick up a packet or a can or whatever it is, and you look at the food labels, look out for obviously sugar, corn sugar, dextrose, fructose, glucose, high fructose corn syrup, high fructose glucose syrup, honey, maple syrup, agave syrup, invert sugar, isoglucose, maltose, molasses, sucrose. The list goes on and on. Generally speaking, anything that ends in O's will be a type of sugar, although that's not always the case, but it is a good rule of thumb. And generally speaking as well, the more processed a food is, the more sugar it will have in it. And if sugar is in the first three ingredients on that ingredients list, it would indicate that it forms a large proportion of that product, and I would tend to advise that you avoid it. But here's some main sources of added sugar that's in our diet. So as you would expect, confectionery, so sweets and chocolate. We do eat a lot of chocolate. We do consume a lot of jams and sweets in this country. And sugar intake for children aged between 11 to 18 is the highest in this category, obviously, sweet treats and chocolate and what have you. So you need to be aware that the odd treat now and again isn't a bad thing, but if you tend to indulge in a bar of chocolate, you know, once or twice a week, or I know some people eat a bar of chocolate a day, you need to be aware it's a lot of calories, there's a lot of sugar, there's also a lot of fat as well, and it probably isn't very good for you. Non-alcoholic drinks, so this makes up quite a large part of our diet as well. So lots of people think that fruit juice is healthier than a can of, shall we say, fizzy drink. I'm not going to mention particular brands, but actually when you drill it down, often fruit juice and fruit drinks are little more than coloured sugar water, and there's as much sugar in a glass of fruit juice as there is in a can of fizzy drink. And I mentioned about sweeteners and artificial sweeteners a few shows ago. So even if you think about switching to diet varieties, you might want to have a listen to that show and learn more about the damage that sweeteners can do to the body as well. My view, and this is my personal view, is when it comes to things like fruit juice, we know that fizzy drinks are a high source of sugar, but fruit juice is as well, as I've just mentioned. And my general advice, certainly to my clients and people that I talk to that ask my advice, is that you should eat your fruit and you shouldn't drink it. When fruit is juiced, you lose a lot of the nutrients, you lose a lot of the fiber. And it's the fibre that helps slow down the absorption of these sugars that are naturally occurring in fruit. And then you end up with just the fruit sugars. Now, fruit sugars or fructose get metabolised in the liver. And too much fructose is one of the leading causes of obesity and diabetes, type 2 diabetes in this country. Because fructose can't be used as energy by the body. It can only be metabolised by the liver. And the liver turns those fruit sugars into fat, and too much fructose equals a condition called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So the takeaway there is cut down on the fruit juice, switch it for a glass of water. You can't really go wrong with a decent glass of water, and eat your fruit, don't drink it. Biscuits, buns and cakes, well, this one, you know, again, is quite obvious. And we're going to come on to a couple that aren't so obvious in a moment, but we do like our pasties, and we do like our biscuits, and we do like our cakes, and we do like our croissants in this country, and our buns and our cereals and all those sorts of things. And actually, again, if you actually look at the food labels, you can see how much sugar is already put into these products. So it's not just about how much sugar you put in a cup of coffee yourself, how many teaspoons you may put in or may not. It's about sugar that's already been added to the food before we even eat it. Diet foods. So healthy looking snack bars are a classic, but one of the tricks that they use with diet foods is they cut fat out to reduce the calories, But often these processed snack bars, these processed diet foods, can be full of hidden sugars, not just sugar, but things like high fructose corn syrup, and all the more damaging types of sugar as well. So generally speaking, when fat is taken out to reduce calories, something is put back in, and normally that's sugar. So again, read the food labels. Canned vegetables. Yeah, interestingly, sugar is actually added to a lot of canned vegetables to actually give it a bit more flavour. So beans, peas, tomatoes, that sort of thing, even potatoes. It enhances the flavour and it helps to prolong the shelf life as well. Just because it looks healthy, or you maybe think it's just vegetables or legumes in a can, it doesn't mean it's sugar-free. So check the food labels. Bread, and this is a surprise for most people, but most breads, especially white breads, have sugar added to them as part of the manufacturing process. Even healthier brown breads, which have been processed, can be full of hidden sugars. And some of them can be actually worse than white bread. So if you like bread, and you know, I'm not going to go on to the subject of gluten today, but if you do like bread, then perhaps making your own bread might be a healthier alternative, or maybe looking at unprocessed whole grain breads. But certainly white breads are full of sugar. Dried fruit. So we mentioned fructose, which is the naturally occurring sugar in fruit. Now, when fruit is dried, this sugar becomes more concentrated, so you end up eating more sugar per gram. So people that consume dried fruits, I tend to advise against it, because the amount of sugar in these dried fruits is a lot more than the fruits in their natural state. And also, if you buy processed smoothies, so if you buy supermarket smoothies, they can be really high in sugar as well. And in fact, there's a few brands of smoothies that have more sugar in them than certain fizzy drinks that I won't mention. But again, we're taught that smoothies are the healthy option, and actually some of them have more sugar in them than these fizzy drinks. If you like making your own smoothies, you need to be careful here, because fruit smoothies, you can actually consume far too much fructose and you damage the fiber as well. So we come back to the fruit juice scenario. If you do like smoothies, making your own smoothies, a healthier option is to make the smoothie out of 2/3 vegetable and 1/3 fruit, because there's very little fructose in vegetables and there's a lot of fiber. And again, the fiber will help to slow down the absorption of the sugars. Cereals, loads of cereals are full of sugar. Lots of them are targeted towards children, which I think is a travesty. Again, look at the food labels. Some breakfast cereals do have more sugar in them than a slice of cake. So it's quite scary that a lot of children are sent off with a bowl of cereal in the morning. And some of them do their whole daily sugar allowance just on breakfast before they even leave the house. Alcoholic drinks do contain sugar. So again, watch out for certain alcoholic drinks. Again, do your own research. Dairy products, if you look at fruit yogurts and dairy-based desserts and flavoured milks, some of the flavoured milks actually have more sugar in them than fizzy drinks. And they will often include concentrated fruit juice, fructose, glucose syrup, and also table sugar as well. So, you know, when you look at natural dairy products, they do contain sugar, which is lactose. But lactose isn't necessarily damaging to the body, but they also contain things like protein and calcium, and they do form part of a healthy diet. It's again when these healthy foods, healthy in moderation, of course, when they become processed and the food manufacturers get their hands on them and they add lots of things in to make them taste so much nicer, that we tend to end up with all these hidden sugars. And the last thing is savoury foods. And so things like ketchups, stirring sauces, jars of, you know, pasta sauces, ready meals, chutneys, crisps, salad cream, these all have surprisingly high amounts of sugar in them. And there was a 2007 study done by Which magazine that found that some ready meals have more sugar in them than vanilla ice cream. So again, it all comes down to doing your own research, being educated. Drop me a line if you want to chat as well and you want some advice. But most importantly, learn to read your food labels, and then you can start to make some educated and smarter choices. Okay, so that's enough for hidden sugars for the moment. After the break, we're going to be having our guest interview with Julie Bartlett. But before that, we have a quick song by Oasis, and it's Little by Little. That was Little by Little by Oasis. Okay, if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can contact the show via the show's Twitter feed, which is at Health Radio Show. And you can contact the show via the Facebook page. If you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can find the show's Facebook page there. Again, you can listen to this show and previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And you can go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can listen on catch up there. So a couple of quick shout outs. A good friend of mine, Andrea Barker. Hi, Andrea. It's good to hear from you. Andrea helps people develop confidence, overcome fears, and overcome phobias. And I've known Andrea for a few years now, and she's a lovely lady and really good at what she does. Her website is www.andreabarker.co.uk if you'd like to get in touch with her. I'd also like to give a shout out to a good friend of mine called Ian Morgan. Now, Ian runs the Business Over Breakfast networking clubs across Kent and Surrey. And Bob Networks are a really good way for businesses to come together and actually do business together. The Bob Business Over Breakfast website address is www.bobclubs.com. If you'd like more information about Bob Networking in Kent, Surrey or Sussex, then please do contact me and I'll happily arrange a guest invite for you to your local group, or you can contact Ian directly. Okay, so we're going to go on to our guest interview for the morning. I have with me my special guest, Julie Bartlett. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Neil.
And how are you this morning?
I'm feeling really good, thank you.
Fantastic. And we're going to find out more about what Julie does, and we are going to find out how she may be able to help you or someone that you know. Okay, Julie, let's start at the beginning. What's your background? And how did you get into doing what you currently do?
Well, my background starts, I suppose, a long time ago when I first left school, and I was at Barclays Bank for 12 years. But then I had two lovely children and I started working in a local leisure centre, just part-time. Mm-hmm. But it gave me the taste for fitness and well-being. Okay. And now it's been nearly 30 years that I've been in the fitness industry. I've worked at leisure centres. I managed David Lloyd in Dartford for 5 years. I've worked at the David Beckham Academy teaching the staff fitness. I've run very nicely spin classes for Cholton Athletic Football Team. That okay. was a joy of mine that I did. And I used to teach spin classes on the bike 2 to 3 times a week. I had my own, at that time, weight loss academy where I used to educate people about food mm-hmm. and well-being. Mm-hmm. And I ran boot camps for a few years in Darrenth Country Park.
Okay.
Many ladies running up and down hills, training people for marathons, for triathlons, for just basic well-being. Gosh, we was boxing in the snow, in the rain, in all weathers. It was a really wow. good time of mine then.
Fantastic, fantastic experience.
Yes, it was.
So what happened? So taking from where you worked and what you were doing back then, what kind of led you into doing what you're doing now?
Well, the last year when I was in the park, around about 2012, mm-hmm. I started to struggle with really heavy periods.
Okay.
And it's a very difficult thing for a woman to be struggling in a park with no toilet facilities and trying to run my business from there. So I got a bit concerned about it and spoke about it with my husband, and he said he would build a studio for me at the bottom of the garden, and his beloved sheds went and mm-hmm. he built me a studio. But I knew I had to get to the bottom of these very heavy periods. So I went for lots of appointments. And finally, it was found that I had a large fibroid, which they would remove. And they said if they input the Mirena coil, it would stop the periods.
All right.
So that's what I was going to have done. So I went for my follow-up appointment following this investigation. And they said, I'm really sorry. We are not going to just remove the fibroid, we're going to remove the whole of your uterus because we've found that you have early stages of womb cancer.
Wow.
So it's a bit of a shock.
That must have been awful.
As you can imagine, it really was. But this, I don't know, the strange thing, coincidence, I'm not quite sure what it was, but 2 days after that diagnosis, I was booked to go to Kenya to cycle 500 kilometres across Kenya for a charity called Women vs. Cancer.
Wow.
So I was joining a large group of women, and I said to the consultant, well, I can't have it done now. I've got to do this bike ride. I want to cycle across Kenya with these ladies. Mm. And it's even more poignant now. So he said, okay, then we'll do it. When do you get back? Back on the Saturday, whatever the date was. And he said, right, we'll have you in on the Monday. So I did my bike ride across Kenya. We raised lots and lots of money.
Wow.
And I went in on the Monday and had a full hysterectomy. I was 53 then. It was the year 2013.
Yeah.
And anyone who's been there in the menopause, a full hysterectomy puts you immediately into menopause.
Mm.
And again, another massive change in my life. And I found it really hard to cope. I really did. I went from someone extremely confident to someone that suffered a bit of anxiety. I started looking around thinking I wasn't good enough. I wasn't young enough. Everyone's younger than me, prettier than me, more intelligent than me. And this was just coming from the massive drop in my hormones, the massive change. I started to get a little bit thicker around the middle. I started to suffer from night sweats, day private summers. They'd be my own. I'd be the one in the T-shirt while everyone else would be in their jumpers. And it was a really, really difficult time for me. And I went, I was always going and still do, go to many women's conferences.
Yeah.
And I went to one at a very low point in my life. And there was a lady up there, a really lovely doctor that I got to know. And she was talking about bioidentical hormones compared to HRT. And I know HRT has quite a bad rap. And I thought I liked the sound of taking something a little bit more natural, the bioidentical hormones.
Mm.
So I arranged to see the doctor. And fast forward to January 2018, I went on bioidentical hormones. And I know they're not for everyone, but they completely changed my life. I was able to live my life again. I got the confidence back. And I highly recommend them. Not for everybody. It was my choice and I decided to take them. But then I also decided in January 2018, why don't I give it a try now on my own? And everything's fine. I still do get hot times. I still get night sweats. But other than nothing else, not the terrible lack of confidence, anxiety issues.
So from a layperson's point of view, so basically from my point of view.
Yes.
What's the difference between bioidentical hormones and HRT?
When I went to the doctors about this condition, the HRT, the doctor just came up on the screen and many, many different forms of HRT came up.
Right.
And she said to me, Julie, we've just got to pick one of these. They don't do blood tests.
Okay.
They didn't see whether or not I was, you know, deficient in progesterone, estrogen, estradiol, whatever,
yeah,
testosterone. But when I went for the bioidentical hormones, my blood was taken. The results came back then to show what I was deficient
in. It's tailor-made to you.
It certainly was. It's a plant-based tablet.
Yep.
That I was able to take knowing that I was getting the right amount of all the different hormones for what I was struggling with.
So essentially it kind of does the same thing.
Yes.
But you get what you need.
Yes,
and
that's
you don't
right.
get what you don't need.
Yes, exactly right, Neil.
Oh, you see, I've learned something today. I've heard of HRT, but I've not heard of bioidentical hormones. Okay. Yeah, that's really fascinating, actually. And that must have been quite a shock to go from not being in menopause to then going straight into menopause. Because for most women, there is, you know,
a
gradual change and the symptoms come on and they can last many years and then they find their way out the other end. But to basically, I guess, almost wake up with those symptoms.
Yes.
Must have been quite a shock to your body.
It was, because I thought, oh, I'm Superwoman Julie Bartlett and it's not going to bother me. I did actually go back to work after 7 weeks of the operation in my business. But It was later on that my body got a real shock.
Wow. But so the bioidentical hormones actually worked, yeah?
Yes, they did. And in that year, when I started taking them, 2013, mm-hmm. and I did start to feel so much better within a couple of months, a program was developed called the Women's Pelvic Health Program. And it was launched by both my mentor and educator, Burrell Education. And I signed up to be one of the first coaches to train and teach women's pelvic health courses. I'm a holistic core restore coach now. And I feel with the experiences that I've gone through myself and come through the menopause and come through with, you know, confidence, that I'm now able to help women even more because I've had these experiences.
And it is very interesting because there is a theme. And for those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis, I have a range of different people in as guests and do all sorts of different things under the wellness umbrella or the wellness spectrum. And there's many different professions under that umbrella. But there is a common theme that runs through all of those. And it's that individual has gone through an experience. And certainly I've gone through things that led me to do what I do. And certainly without exception, every guest I've interviewed has gone on to follow their profession because of their personal experience.
Yeah, I think it's I think it actually helps as well to share. A lot of people say to me, you know, but you're so happy. Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's fine. I want to be happy in my late 50s, 60s, 70s as I go on through life. But a lot of people live with the menopause thinking it is the dreaded menopause.
Yeah.
It's the end. Yes, it is the end of your periods, but it's not the end of life.
No.
It really isn't.
And for some women, they get their menopause incredibly early, don't they?
They do.
You know, sometimes late 30s or and early 40s.
Yeah, you're right. And that's even harder for them to deal with.
And I think as well, when you've got someone who's been through those experiences, you know, when your clients look at your experience and your story, it just gives them confidence. You're very congruent. You've been there, done it, and you've come out the other end and you've experienced often what they're going through. And I think when you've got that congruency, it makes you very genuine. You're not just following a profession you've read from a textbook. You've actually been through that experience and you know exactly what they're going through as well.
Absolutely, because one of the big things that I deal with is incontinence in women. Okay. And this is something that I'm now saying out loud on the radio. I did suffer from stress incontinence.
Okay.
Because again, that the your body changes, and it was something that I wasn't happy with and I wanted to do something about. And this Holistic Core Restore program enables women to be able to do something about it through exercise. And I know you're a great advocate of exercise, but this is about particular pelvic floor exercise to allow them to then go walking in or into the gym, which otherwise they may be too embarrassed to work out with suffering from incontinence. And just some stats for you, Neil, which is something you may not be aware of, but at the moment there are roughly 9.6 million women that suffer in the UK by some sort of bladder problem.
Really?
Yes, it's a huge figure. And a lot of people, these figures come from the British Journal of Medical Practitioners, a lot of people wait up to 15 years before seeking professional help. They put up with it and they wear pads for years and years.
Because they think it's just part of the natural aging process, and maybe they believe there's nothing they can do about it. And I guess in some cases there's a degree of embarrassment as well.
Both of those things that you've mentioned, absolutely.
Yeah.
And a lot of women think it's just me. And it's just me.
Does that tend to affect sort of old women in their sort of late 30s, 40s, 50s?
I've had someone as young as 16 with pelvic floor problems.
Wow.
With stress incontinence, that they wasn't able to do their PE at school because of that. So it can happen at any age, and it's not just through the menopause.
So in addition to helping people, helping ladies with their pelvic floor exercises and to strengthen, you know, down there, what other areas can you help people with as well?
Well, I do a lot of personal training, so I help a lot of people on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah.
A lot of people come to me with health issues, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, which I know is your forte, obesity. Again, what we were just talking about, menopause, hormonal problems, pre-pregnant, postnatal. I help people a lot with strength training because I feel strength training is a very, very important thing. I'm also a qualified sports masseur. And next weekend, I'm on my scar massage qualification course. And next month, I'm doing the pregnancy massage. So I help people a lot with.
So you're quite busy then.
I do like to keep myself busy. I really do. There's lots to fit into my life, and I'm determined to keep going on. I love education. I absolutely love education, and I love educating other people. I've recently started working in the corporate sector, spreading the word about healthy eating, about understanding food labels, understanding what's in our food.
Yep.
Your little bit about sugar will just be so, so useful to them. So I'll pass that on. Yeah, I do lots of things. To be honest, if someone comes to me and says they're a little bit down, what can I do? I will sit down and I will talk to them and I will find out why, and we will make a plan. So I do quite a lot of life laundry with people.
It sounds like you're on a bit of a mission.
I certainly am.
To change the world. and we were talking during the break, and Judy and I are very much on the same page with regards to the health industry and about educating people, because it is shocking how little people know. And for those of us that work in the health in the health and wellness arena, you know, we take our knowledge for granted. And actually, it's not till you sit down with people that don't do what we do, you realise not just how little they know, but how much miseducation there is out there. Often, I dare say, often by the food companies that are trying to sell them the products in the first place.
I totally agree.
And we go back to the whole smoothies are healthy and fruit juice is healthy. You know, that's what we've been educated in. Cereal is healthy, and there is a lot of miseducation out there for sure.
Yes.
Okay, so going on to some successes. Obviously, we can't mention people by name for confidentiality reasons, but can you give a couple of examples of real-life experiences you've had with clients?
Yes, I can actually, and it's quite nice because at the end of each of their courses with me or each of their plans that we've developed, they always fill in an exit questionnaire and fill in how they felt about it and what I've been able to help them with. So I've just taken a couple of those just to read out with you today. One person said, working with Julie has shown us what fun we can have exercising together as a couple. Another one, Julie helped me develop a strong positive attitude towards training, especially during periods of darkness. This one I love. At 73 years old, I'm Julie's oldest client, and her PT sessions keep my body fit and well so I can live my life. And another one, I discovered I have diastasis and all the sit-ups I was doing was causing more harm. And after just 3 weeks of the six-week course, I've lost 7 pounds and my tummy gap is closing up. And I don't know if you know what diastasis is, Neil, but it's where the linear alba in the middle of the abdominals opens up for pregnancy and sometimes doesn't go back neatly for people. But we can help with that again. So I've got so many successes. Another mum couldn't even walk her children to school because of pelvic floor issues. It was always that she needed to go. And we've helped with that. And I know now that she does walk her children to school, and she's a great promoter of my services.
Fantastic. And it's so nice when you get these testimonials and, you know, people publicly thank you for the work that you've done.
Yes.
And, you know, you've changed their lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. So what are your plans for the coming sort of 12 to 18 months?
Well, as I say, I've started the corporate side, which I'm really looking forward to. I'd also like to collaborate with a couple of other professionals that I've recently connected with to create workshops, especially for women.
Mm.
So we can talk about the life laundry, we can talk about their lifestyle plan and explain different things that perhaps what we were just saying that people don't know about. I take it for granted that I know what I know, but until recently I haven't realised how much I know and how little other people know. So I really want to spread that word. My husband is retiring next year and life will change again for us, but I don't have any plans to retire at all. But we have one of our children, my daughter is in Australia with our two grandchildren. Okay. So we'd like to eventually live our life with 3 months in Australia and 9 months in England, perhaps choose the winter months here to go to Australia. So I'd like to create more online programs. And I'm looking at that to try and get again to more people.
Okay. and developing the corporate sector as well, which would, yes. be, which would be good, and that we spoke about during the break as well. And I think if it was me, I think I would spend 9 months in Australia and 3 months here.
No, you're with him because that's what he wants to do. I hope he's not listening, Neil.
June, July, August in the UK and the rest of the year in Australia. That would suit me down to the ground.
Yes, you're definitely on the same page as him.
So who is your, who would be your ideal client and why should they come to you particularly?
To be honest, all women, any woman at any age and at any stage, really, on their life journey. I see and hear many women in their 50s and 60s say how unfulfilled they are, how they lack their confidence. And I ask so many women, are you happy? And I'm shocked when they can't even answer. I've asked women, what makes you happy? What do you do in your day, in your week, in your life that makes you happy? And I could answer that straight away with loads of things, but people, can I come back to you on that? It really shocks me.
Shocking,
yeah. So any woman can come to me, any woman at all.
And they, and obviously we mentioned your personal experiences. The services that you offer relate to a lot of the personal experiences that you've been through.
Yes.
That does give you that understanding and the empathy and that congruency as well.
Definitely,
that
yes.
You're preaching what you've practiced.
Yes, yeah.
If that makes sense.
Definitely.
So if any listeners want to get in touch with you, what are the best points of contact to talk to you?
You can contact me through my website, which is www.juliebartlett.me.
Okay.
You can call me or text me if you prefer. My phone number is 07932-632094.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook and Instagram as juliebartlett.me.
Excellent. And we will just reiterate those contact details towards the end of the show, and I'll also put them on the show's Facebook page as well. Thank you, Julie. It's been an education.
Thanks, Neil.
And it's great to talk to someone who's very much on the same page with a lot of things as I am. And there is that definite synergy. So thank you for coming on the show.
No, it's a pleasure, Neil, and thank you for your show. I absolutely love it every week. Thank you.
Brilliant, thank you. So after the break, we're going to have a quick chat about blood pressure, how to recognise high blood pressure, and what you can do about it, and some interesting research regarding low-salt diets. But before then, we have a quick song by Ocean Colour Scene, and it's the Riverboat Song.
Swim beneath the
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest on the show this morning, Julie Bartlett, who we've just found out a bit more before the music break. Okay, so a quick piece about blood pressure. I did cover this a few months ago, but there's been some interesting research I'm going to cover briefly as well regarding low-salt diets. So high blood pressure, it's one of those conditions, along with high cholesterol and high blood sugars, that you don't tend to get symptoms of until you get symptoms. Okay, so diabetes, type 2 diabetes can take 10 years to develop, and you won't get any symptoms until you get symptoms. And then when you get symptoms, you're normally already in trouble. So when it comes to blood pressure, the takeaway there is you need to know what your blood pressure is. Okay, ignorance is not bliss when it comes to things like blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and blood sugar levels. And you won't know what your blood pressure is unless you have it measured. And it's estimated there's around 7 million people in the UK that live with high undiagnosed blood pressure. So they've got it. They won't know they've got it until they have it checked. And then when they get it checked and it's high, then you can do something about it. It's actually recommended that everyone over 40 has their blood pressure checked along with their blood sugars as part of a regular health check, because blood pressure can increase as we get older, as can blood sugars. So blood pressure is simply the pressure of the blood in your arteries when your heart pumps and when your heart's relaxed. And you'll often hear your doctor say, oh, it's 120 over 80 or 140 over 90. What that basically means is the systolic, which is the higher number, is when your heart pumps, and the diastolic is when your heart's relaxed. And that is the indication of whether your blood pressure is low, normal, or high. And if your blood pressure is high, or this condition called hypertension, then that can lead to things like enlarged heart, and your heart, like any muscle, gets bigger the more it's worked, and higher blood pressure works your heart more. Unlike any other muscle in the body, it's the one heart, it's the one muscle that you don't want to get bigger, because that can lead to heart failure. And also, high blood pressure does increase the risk of you having a heart attack or having a stroke. So some of the things that can cause high blood pressure, things like not doing enough physical activity, carrying too much weight, having a high salt diet, drinking too much alcohol. If there's a family history of high blood pressure, that can be an issue as well. And if you, even if you don't have high blood pressure now, putting things into place can stop high blood pressure developing as you get older. So as I mentioned, it's good to go to your doctors or get a good quality, and I do stress good quality, blood pressure machine, because some of the cheaper ones are inaccurate and they can read too high or too low, which can be deceptive either way. So a good quality arm and not wrist machine is an option, or just get your blood pressure checked by your GP the next time you have one of these well people checks. And ways to reduce it, as I mentioned, reducing salt in your diet, losing some weight, cutting down on alcohol, increasing physical activity, having a healthy, balanced diet. All these will not only just have an impact on your blood pressure, but they'll also have an impact on things like your cholesterol levels and your blood sugar levels as well. So just very quickly, going on to this research. So this research was done by Harvard University, and it was a study of 412 people with early stage hypertension or early stage high blood pressure. And these people weren't taking any blood pressure medication whatsoever. So a proportion of the people they put onto medication, as would happen if you went to your doctors, and the rest they put on to a low salt, I stress low salt, not no salt, because you do need salt in your diet. Salt is an important mineral that our body uses, but a low salt diet and eating more fruit and vegetables. And after a period of time, they found that the healthy diet, so more fruit, more veg, less saturated fats, certainly lower in salt, reduced the blood pressure, the average blood pressure, by 21 millimetres of mercury. So we mentioned about these 120 over 80, 140 over 90. It's that number, the higher number particularly. By adopting a healthier lifestyle and having a healthier diet, that group reduced their blood pressure by 21 millimetres of mercury. The ones that were put on hypertensive drugs reduced it by 3 to 4 millimetres of mercury. So quite a shock that, or not quite a shock to me, but quite a shock to a lot of people, that actually adopting a healthier lifestyle. It's called a DASH diet. I'm not into diets, but in this case, it's not a diet as you would think a weight loss diet. It's called a dietary approaches to stop hypertension diet. So DASH, D-A-S-H, do your own research, look it up. But it had a bit of a more positive impact for these people than the medication. And even ACE inhibitors, calcium blockers, beta blockers, they would only reduce blood pressure by about 10 to 15 millimetres of mercury, nowhere near the healthier lifestyle option. So again, please do your own research, but it's an interesting side effect of having a healthier diet where you can reduce not just your blood pressure, but I'd argue you'd actually end up reducing your cholesterol levels if they were high, and also your blood sugar levels at the same time. If you want any more information on that, or you've got any concerns, or you just want to ask a question, then please do contact me via my website, i-nutrition.co.uk. But yeah, do your own research. If you are on medication, don't make any changes before you talk to your doctor. But again, you might want to actually look at a healthier lifestyle, healthier diet than just depending on drugs for the rest of your life. Excuse me. Okay, so we're going to wrap the show up now. A quick reminder of the show's Twitter feed, which is at Health Radio Show. The show's Facebook page, if you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to find the show's Facebook page there. You can listen to this show and all previous shows on Catch Up via the media page of my website, and also on iTunes podcast. Go to iTunes, search the Health Matters Radio Show, and you'll find all 37 shows there. And again, my website is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. I'd like guests for future shows. I'm taking bookings now into October and November. So if you'd like to come on the show, as Julie has done today, have a chat with me, find out more about what you do, and use the show as a platform to promote yourself, then please make contact me via my website. And if you have any questions, again, drop me a line via my website, or drop me a tweet. And a quick reminder of Julie's contact details. Her website is www.juliebartlett.me. I normally say .me, but .me. And Julie's phone number is 07932-632-094. And her email address is jabrox, so Jabrox.
Yes, that's right.
At hotmail.co.uk. And so I'd like to thank Julie for coming on the show one more time. It's been great to have you on the show, Julie.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me.
And it's been great to find out more about what you do. And hopefully some people will make contact with you. And yeah, you never know where those conversations will take you.
You never know. Thank you.
So after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. So to play us out, we have a great song by R.E.M. It's a song that I've actually not heard for a long time. The Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight. So until the same time next Monday, stay happy, stay healthy, have a great week, and I will catch you on the 1st of October.
separate.